Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Well, as I was saying, the Irish comedian Jarlath Regan has abandoned us. He's left us for... Anyway, he's gone to pursue the high life in the UK, but is coming back to Dublin for a comedy gala show as part of the St. Patrick's Festival this Sunday. And the move to England seems to have worked out for the best, as Jarlath's chat show podcast, An Irishman Abroad, has a million listeners every week. It's always up in the top one, two, or three of the most popular podcasts in a given week. In each episode, Jarlath is joined by a well-known Irish writer or actor, a performer, sports person, or public figure to discuss their life and shared experiences of Ireland and abroad. So smart concept with guests including Aidan Gillen, Boy George, Tony McCoy, Tom Vaughan Lawler, Terry Wogan, Dylan Moran. The podcast give a great insight into those who, like Jarlath himself, hopped on a plane to discover a life less ordinary. And Jarlath joins us now from there. Good morning, Jarlath.
How's it going, Ryan? How are you?
Really good to hear from you again, and congratulations on your ongoing success with the podcast.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, honestly, it's a great idea, a great concept, and I'm curious to know why you went down the podcast road.
Well, you know, this is a different time, I suppose, in terms of broadcasting. A podcast is such a powerful thing now. And I guess it was inspired a little bit by the lads from Second Captains and what they did, you know, leaving radio behind. And I kind of thought, like a lot of people, what are they thinking? And then within a month, I mean, they had nearly a more powerful show that was going to people's iPods. Mm. So I thought I'd always had this idea, and I'd been living in the UK a little while. And I just thought, I'll go for it. Why not? Give it a go.
Yeah, when I go out with three friends of mine, lads, two are into the whole digital thing, and two of us are a bit old school, and we're literally divided up into the analogs and the digitals. And with you, you know, you've gone into this world where TV is considered to be almost, for some programs at least, a bit quaint. And equally, for you now, radio like this is nearly old school, but podcasting is where it's at.
Well, I think the two are going hand in hand. I'm sure you can see it with your own podcast of the show. I mean, it's how I catch up on your show. I know a lot of people that have been on your show have been on my show, so I'll root through the archive. Whereas before, you know, it was very much like, if you missed it, it's gone.
Yeah.
It appears into the ether.
Yeah.
So in that way, it is kind of giving people a chance to catch up with their lives being more and more busy.
So you started with, I think Graham Lennon was your first guest.
That's right.
From the Father Ted and the IT crowd and so forth. And you did that interview. And was that meant to be just a once-off? You were just having a little look at it and then it just took off? Or was that part of a grand plan?
I guess it was a kind of speculative pilot to see what would be the take-up on it. And, you know, I didn't have a plan. There definitely wasn't a case of, and then we've got 12 guests in the pipeline and we were smoking cigars. I recorded Graham, and he was such an amazingly nice, giving man that the interview that I got, I was lucky enough that it kind of found its feet and it went straight to number one. So then it was a question of the listeners were going, when's the next one? And I was kind of, it forced my hand to kind of go for it, really go for it, and chase after all the people that I'd always wanted to speak to. And thankfully, Graham, in a strange kind of way, opened the doors because he's such a respected man in the industry that, you know, anyone in comedy would say yes then. And then after that, it was about, you know, diversifying, making it not just about a comedian's loving, but more about the Irish experience abroad from whatever sector it could be, from Paul Kimmage to Jason McAteer, Ruby Walsh, or Keane Egan. You know, there's all these different lives, but all these shared experiences of being abroad and trying to figure it out.
Well, it's something close to my own heart because I wrote a book similar to, you know, on this basis, the Irish are coming on the Irish.
I have it on my shelf.
Okay, well, sorry about that. But you know what I'm talking about? It's just all these, but the themes that run through the Anglo-Irish story are fascinating. How, you know, our parents' generation would have had one type of attitude to deal with, our generation would have had another, and then if we're to go, even the younger 20-somethings are getting something else entirely. So are you seeing that sense of diverse experiences for the Irish in the UK?
Definitely there are themes and threads that run through it again and again. And the only question that I ask every week is the final question, which is, what is the one piece of advice that you can stand over as a person who has, inverted commas, made it abroad? Time and time again, you see those themes come through in the advice. But a lot of time, Ryan, as you in your book, you found it was a case of it couldn't be done in Ireland, so I have to make this leap. And in a lot of cases, and from people that, like Ronnie Delaney, people like Terry Wogan as well, they had to take this leap and go into the unknown. And it's these names that you don't expect to hear it from that I think people find fascinating. People that you just think, oh, well, you know, he's that person. Yeah. But they were, just like you one day, going, how can I make this work?
Yeah.
And is Ireland the place for it?
Precisely. And they all have a very distinct thought process on Ireland. I always think that they all have, it's there. Like Terry Wogan considers himself, you know, British now, in fairness to him, but yet very much a dual Irish thing going on. But it's defined in his head. And you probably get the same thing from Dylan Moran and from even people like Dara O'Brien, who's so Irish and yet is part of the story over there and not ashamed of it, nor should he be.
Yeah, well, I think that there is. There's certainly been a journey for me in my life in coming over here and kind of relating to these people and seeing them go through the feeling of sometimes you're kind of pushed off the ship. I mean, you get a little nudge that, like, it's not that sense of, you leave with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder in some way. And a lot of people on the show have, that it didn't work in my homeland, I can make it work here.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, that's the healthy thing, that you go out with a point to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, whether it's Graham Linehan or a Duke special or people like Niall Quinn, I mean, they're all going over there to prove to their family and friends that this was not a mistake. And the relationship with Ireland then grows fonder because they realize that Ireland gave them that nudge and Ireland gave them that sense of drive that makes Irish people, in a lot of ways, our best export after Guinness.
Yeah, for sure. You do enjoy the. I know you're a comedian first and foremost, but in this context, you're essentially a talk show host of sorts. You seem to be really comfortable in the role. Are you enjoying it, or would you rather be on stage telling gags?
I absolutely adore it, Ryan. Like, I couldn't tell you how much I enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure you understand.
I do.
100% that sense of, there's a real kind of sense of peace.
Yeah.
When you do get a really good one and you feel like you listened and brought out a story that people haven't heard before. And also, like you say, with stand-up, there's the constant obligation of, we need a punchline in 30 seconds.
I can't imagine. I know which one I'd pick because, I take the easier option. But the comedy thing is, I never understand how anyone can do it. But anyway, that's part of your vocation.
Yeah, well, this has been kind of a relief from that in some ways. And, like, it's actually getting behind the joke in a lot of cases with the comics. It's kind of finding out the thought process, the writing process behind these things, because no more than with Terry Pratchett, these things have architecture underneath them that's rarely discussed. And sometimes that can be fascinating, and other times it can be extremely boring. So you've got to try and make it accessible, I guess, to people. And, you know, doesn't matter who you're talking to, that's essentially the challenge, isn't it?
No question. And the other thing is, it's a curiosity as well, but one that you probably don't want to talk about in the sense of naming names, which I wouldn't expect you to, nor will I, which is the people that you kind of expect to be a barrel of laughs or are great comedians are very often earnest and quite dull.
Well, I guess I don't have the same obligations and expectations that you have, Ryan, and I'm blessed in that, and I realize how fortunate I am. There is no audience waiting and texting in immediately or sitting in the room. It's very much, if anyone's listened to it, they'll know, you can hear tea across the table.
Yeah.
It's an hour long. There are no ads. There's nobody in my ear going, get the book mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, I get to actually just sit there. So I never really go in with the expectation that this would be a barrel of laughs.
Mm.
But that said, there'll be people that you never thought would have hilarious stories, like Paul Kimmage, for example, told some incredible stories. And then there are ones like Chris O'Dowd, who will just knock your socks off for an hour, solid, after story.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had one where I thought, oh, I thought that'd be funnier. Because in my kind of show. It's about following whatever it is. What is his story? If his story is a serious one, let's follow it and see, is there hope at the end?
Okay, well, look, you're over in the Mill Theatre, so for St. Patrick's Day Comedy Gala this Sunday.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, tell us about the...
Nine comics in total on stage. It's all surprise guests from stage and TV in Dundrum's beautiful Mill Theatre. You can grab yourself a bit of dinner in Rowley's outside beforehand. And tickets are only €15. It's the only stand-up comedy show as part of the St. Patrick's Day Festival. So it's the St. Patrick's Day Festival Comedy Gala. Some tickets still available and guests still being confirmed. So that's on this Sunday at 7 p.m. in the Mill Theatre. I'd love if people came down.
And a lot of people have Monday off, so Sunday, the idea of a Sunday gig isn't too alien to them this weekend. So it's milltheatre.ie. And we can find your broadcast, your podcast, very easy to find, because it's generally, as I say, if you go into most popular, it's up there, the top two or three, if not one, An Irishman Abroad. So continued success, Charles. Good to talk to you. I'm delighted to hear it's going so well for you. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
All the best for now.
All the best. Bye-bye.